Let's stand for our closing devotion to the book of Haggai, the prophet Haggai. I don't think I need to say, but I'm going to anyway, that the prophecy of Haggai is the third last book of the Old Testament, that it's sandwiched between the prophecies of Zephaniah before it and Zechariah after it. So if you have any problem of finding it, that should help you and guide you. Let's turn to the first chapter of the prophecy of Haggai. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jozadak the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every one unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from the fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the son of Jozadak the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. And the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. The Lord still stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua the son of Jozadak the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the further reading from his holy word. Let's bow in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for the blessings of this day. And now as we ponder together this portion of thy word, we pray for the guidance and direction of thy spirit. And we pray that each one of us may realize the importance of holding to the priority in life. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. If there's any chapter in the Bible that's about priorities, it's Haggai chapter 1, about the wrong priorities and the right priority. If I were giving a title to this chapter, I would call it First Things First. If I were to give a New Testament verse to describe this priority, it would be the New Testament verse that my brother Joe presented at the very beginning of his message. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If I were giving an Old Testament verse, I would take the verse from 1 Samuel chapter 2, where the message of God came to the people through of that day, through to Eli. Them that honor me will I honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. The prophecy of Haggai is the third last and the second shortest book in the Old Testament. The only shorter one is the little one chapter prophecy of Obadiah. Haggai was one of the minor prophets, so called. We think of him as a minor prophet, but he came with a major message. A major message for his time, and a major message for you and me in our time. Haggai's message is of vital significance and important to us. Haggai is described, as we read in this chapter, as the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. It's possible to be the Lord's messenger, but not to be in the Lord's message. Jonah was the Lord's messenger, but for a time he wasn't in the Lord's message. Haggai was both the messenger of the Lord and brought the message of the Lord. About 16 years before Haggai's prophecy, a wonderful thing happened. The children of Israel, some of them, had come back from captivity in Babylon. Cyrus, the king of the Persians, had been the means of doing this, for he issued an edict that the temple should be rebuilt. And these people came from captivity back to Jerusalem, ostensibly to rebuild the temple of Jerusalem. They got supplies to do it. They had a little of their own, but King Cyrus sent them the things that had been brought from Jerusalem. When they got to Jerusalem, about 2 years later, 16 years before Haggai's prophecy, they set to the problem and the task of laying the foundations. And when the foundations were laid, there was great rejoicing, mingled with weeping of those who had seen the old temple and its size. But then something happened. There was opposition. There were edicts from Persia. And there was laziness on the part of those who were building the temple. And 16 years later, about the year 520 BC, Haggai came on the scene, along with Zechariah, along with Zerubbabel, of whom we have heard. And Haggai brought this message to the people. We're going to look at that for a brief moment or two, for I believe it has a lesson for us in our day. Let's notice the people involved in this. There was, first of all, in verse 1, the prophet Haggai. And then there was the prince, Zerubbabel, the great-grandson of Jehoiakim, one of the last kings of Judah. And then there was the priest, Joshua, the son of Jozadak. They listened to the message, along with the people of Israel. Of course, the first part of the message in verse 2 deals with the people's excuse. Notice what they said, what the Lord said to them. The Lord of hosts said, "This people say, the time is not come, that the time that the Lord's house should be built." They had built their own things. But they had excuses, of course. No doubt they used the excuse that there was already opposition. Opposition from people in the land. Opposition from the Persians to the building of the house. But the real excuse that they gave was, it's not the time to do the Lord's work. It's not the time to build the Lord's house. There is a time for that. Today many of the Lord's people supposedly are making the same sort of excuse. It's not time to do this thing. It's not time to preach this gospel, to hold this campaign. It's not the time to have this series of meetings. It's not the time to do this kind of work for the Lord. And you'll notice the real reason. The real reason was misplaced priorities. Haggai said in verse 4, "Is it time for you, O people, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? In other words, although they weren't doing anything for the Lord's house, they were doing lots of things for their own house. They thought it was time to build up their own houses, and they were getting ceiled or paneled houses. They had beautiful homes, but the Lord's house lay waste. Nothing more than the foundations were available. And they were building their own homes. They were concerned with their own luxury, their own comfort, their own joys, but not at all for the things of the Lord. The God's house was neglected. There was great zeal for their own interests, but none for the interests of the Lord of hosts. What about us? Let's take this very personally this afternoon, for I'm sure the Lord speaks through the prophecy of Haggai to our hearts and to our lives in this day. Is it true that perhaps in our lives the things of God are getting a back seat and we're concerned with our own pleasure, with our own activities, with our own wealth, with our own homes, with our own luxury, and God's things take second place? This is sometimes the reason in many places why the Sunday evening service is neglected. And there are so few there. And the prayer meeting is neglected. The Lord's things take second, third, fourth, fifth, or further down the line place. And before it, there is the television. There are the sports of the day. There are the pleasures and activities that we want to be engaged in. And the result is that the Lord's things are neglected. This is happening all around us. It's happening, I'm sure, here, as it is happening in assemblies in Canada, and certainly in other churches of other denominations. I trust it's not happening in your assembly. Be sure that you see to it that it doesn't happen. Perhaps we used to sing that old hymn, "Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for whom he died." We sing that for sinners, but what about us? Are we giving the Lord the place in our lives and in our service that he deserves, that we should give him? Notice next in verse 5, the challenge that Haggai brings. He says, "Consider your ways." That's the first of five occurrences of this little phrase in this little prophecy, twice in the first chapter and three times in the second chapter. It means give careful thought. Reflect earnestly. Set your heart on your ways. Take a good look at yourself. Look what's been happening. And then, later on in the chapter, let's look at verse 6, what he says. You've sown much. What happened? You bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough to eat. You're not filled. You drink, you're not satisfied with drink. You clothe, but you get no heat from the clothing you wear. You earn wages, and you put these wages into a bag with holes in them, you'll lose them all. Why is it? Think of these situations. Why is it that there is no result? And sometimes we should take a look at ourselves. I don't think these things apply literally to ourselves. They could in some circumstances. But we could apply them spiritually. We preach the gospel, but no one's saved. We try to build up the assembly, but we lose people quicker than we gain them. We try to encourage the prayer meeting, and very few people come to the prayer meeting. Why? What's the reason? Well, further down the chapter, we read the reason. Let's notice what the Lord says in verse 9, in the middle of the verse. "I did blow upon it. You looked for much. Lo, it came to little. When you brought it home, I did blow upon it," said the Lord of hosts. What? The Lord blowing upon it? The Lord was responsible for it? Well, that's what the Lord says. But he tells us the cause of their wasted efforts. He says in the same verse, he says, "Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man to his own house. In other words, he's saying, you've had wrong priorities. Your priorities have you been your own things, your own pleasure, your own comfort, your own luxury. And my house, the things of the Lord, have taken a low place in your priority list. And that may be the reason why in many parts of our country there is so little blessing resulting from the work of the Lord's people. We are giving our attention to the wrong priorities. And that's why there's drought. That's why there's famine. That's why there's lack of blessing. We have the wrong priorities. How important then, as we've heard this afternoon, it is that we should have our priorities corrected, that we should have the right priority. Note as we come to verse 7, the charge, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. That was the message he had given earlier as a challenge. But here he gives it as a charge to consider these things that I just mentioned. The fact that they had eaten and they weren't filled. The fact that they had attended to their own things and neglected the Lord's things. And the Lord now gives them a charge to fulfill. Let's consider the counsel that the Lord gives them. It's presented to us in verse 8. The counsel that God gives. Now I want, before we look at the first part of the verse, to look at the second part of the verse. That's not the usual way to look at it, but we're going to look at the aim or the objective that we should have. The objective that the people of Israel should have. The people who are now back in the city of Jerusalem. The Lord says, I will take pleasure in it. In other words, their right priority was for the pleasure of the Lord. For the Lord's pleasure. Not for their own pleasure, but for the pleasure of the Lord. And then he says, I will be glorified. We've been thinking of this today. Our right priority is for the glory of the Lord. And when we get away from that correct priority, when we get away from the Lord's pleasure, not our own, and go to our own, and the Lord's glory, not our own gain, when we run into difficulties and lack of blessing. The Lord says, make this your priority. My pleasure, that I may be pleased in it, take pleasure in it. And my glory, that I may be glorified in it. What to do then? Well, he tells them what to do. And you'll notice there are three things that he tells them to do. He says, go up to the mountain. Go up to the mountain. That means you have to exert energy. You have to have activity. You have to be engaged in action. You have to do service for the Lord. Have your right priority. But don't just leave it there and sit back and say the Lord's going to be glorified. But you have to do something about it. You have to go up. To go up means exercising energy and exertion. To go up to the mountain. It takes a lot of energy. Go up to the mountain. There's a second thing he says. Bring from the mountain. He says, bring the wood. In order for the house to be built, we have to bring that which is necessary. All the resources that we can bring. The resources that the Lord has given to us. We have to bring them to him to carry out his work in his house. Not to use for our own things, but for his things. And then he says, build. There's the responsibility. We have the responsibility to build the things of the Lord. In their case, it was a material, physical temple. In our case, we are to build up the work of the Lord. We are to build up the people of the Lord. We are to build up the church of the Lord, the local assembly of God's people. If more of the Lord's people in their assemblies were exercising their efforts and were building up the people of God, there would be fewer small assemblies and fewer closed doors in assemblies. We have a responsibility to take the right priorities if we're going to serve the Lord. Notice the Lord's encouragement as he tells them in verses 13 and 14. He said, "Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord." God encourages us by his presence. Although they had neglected him, he didn't neglect them. And although we have neglected him and become discouraged, God is still with us. And he says, "Lo, I am with you always." And then his influence is seen in verse 14. "And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel." The Lord's influence. Well, what happened? What happened? Verses 12 to 15 indicate the people's response to the Lord's message. Three things, just very briefly, that happened in these verses. Verse 12 tells us that they all obeyed. They heard the message, and they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. The first thing we have to do is obedience. Obedience to the word of God. Obedience to his command. To put him first in our activities, and to read his word, and obedience. The second thing is at the end of the verse, "And the people did fear before the Lord." That is reverence. Reverence. Awe for God. Reverential awe as we think of his greatness and glory. To bring him glory in our lives. Reverential awe. Giving him the very first place. Reverence for the Lord. And then finally, let's notice at the end of verse 14. "And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God." There is diligence. Three things we need. Obedience. We need reverence. We need diligence. And if we give obedience and reverence and diligence to the things of the Lord and the work of the Lord, then we'll get the Lord's blessing upon our service. I'm going to ask you, what are your priorities? Or what is your priority? I trust our priority after this conference, every one of us, may be the Lord first, the Lord foremost, and the Lord forever, for his glory.